high short kick that is going to come up and bounce at the 20. Rutgers has a chance to recover it, and they do! What a play by the Scarlet Knights!
Get it to Harper with three, with two, with one. Harper for the win! Got it!
10 and 10 at the 21. Wimsett hands it off. It's Manunga getting to the corner left. 20, 15, catching to 10. Manunga down near the goal line. He is in! Touchdown, Rutgers!
Now with six. Baker making his move with five. Step back three for the lead. Oh. Yeah! With 1.1 to go.
Welcome back to the Scarlet Faithful Podcast. I'm Aaron Brightman, and happy to welcome back Eric Vesper to recap the Big Ten Wrestling Championships for Rutgers Wrestling after a very eventful and successful weekend, to preview, to review what happened, and then also to just look ahead at Nationals. Eric, thanks so much for being back, and what are your initial thoughts of how Rutgers did this past weekend?
Aaron, thanks for having me again, and welcome to another handsome Tuesday for Soriano, as we talked about last week. this is one of the, I was really looking forward to doing this. What a good weekend. I mean, this is one of my favorite parts about this, right? Because of course you do your best to be impartial, but I'm a fan. And that this was a weekend where they just overachieved pretty much in, 8 out of 10 spots, I would say. I mean, they wrestled to their seed at every position or at every weight or better. And that's more than you can ask for. I mean, this was an excellent weekend, and I look forward to getting into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Rutgers sending their most qualifiers to Nationals since 2016, when they sent all 10. This time they're sending 8, but also some great individual performances as well. Why don't we start at 125, Dean Peterson with probably the win of the Big Ten Championships, knocking off the number one seed Ramos of Purdue. And then, had a heartbreaking loss at one point, finished fifth ultimately. What was your overall assessment of his performance this past weekend?
Yeah, definitely the most clips on Saturday night for sure that were posted on social media involved Dean Peterson taking out number one Matt Ramos of Purdue. It was a good match. Peterson just got to his attacks, and he was really good in scrambles. And what was really impressive is that last takedown that sealed it for him. He was on the attack there. He wasn't sitting back with his 4-1 lead, just, counting his blessings and running for his life. So you love that aggression. You love him coming out on top of a kid that he didn't look like he could get to at all in their dual meet. Like I mentioned when we talked about it, that the length of Ramos seemed like it was a real problem for Peterson, but he found a way around it, and he looked really strong. And then he gets to the semifinals, seeing Patrick McKee of Minnesota, a kid he's faced. That was the third time. It was 2-0 against him going into it. And very stingy match, not a lot going on. McKee's winning 2-1 going into the final seconds of the match. Peterson actually gets a takedown to make it 4-2. We got to keep in mind, though, McKee did have that riding time point coming, so it was basically 4-3. So he actually got hit by the announcer's curse. The announcer said, well, Peterson has this one locked up. And then McKee did some funky move that McKee does. Got out, looked like he had him reversed, would have just given McKee the win. I think that was the original call on the mat. They reviewed it. They said it was just an escape. So they went into overtime, and then Peterson just didn't do a great shot and got countered right away by McKee and got taken out. So literally a hair, maybe 2.5 seconds from, making the finals and turning this into an awesome weekend rather than just a pretty successful one with the fifth place finish. He gets the auto qualifier. Talking about Nationals, I feel like he'll be around a 12-16 seed in there. Like 125 was wild this year, but he picked up some important wins this weekend. In that fifth place match, he avenged an early season loss to Michael DiAgostino of Michigan. So that was really impressive to see. I think that was right at the end of regulation. He took him out too. So he's staying in against these good guys. It's really good to see these guys wrestle back too after losing in the semifinals. Sometimes you see the semifinal, like, I forget what they call it, the semifinal something, but the dudes just don't feel like wrestling in the wrestle backs. And sometimes it's hard to blame them when you take a crushing loss like that. But really good performance out of Peterson. I look forward to seeing what he can turn it into at Nationals for sure.
I've seen, some chatter from wrestling accounts, on Twitter. And I even think Goodell, correct me if I'm wrong, but he kind of alluded to it in his presser after just talking about Nationals and, having a chance to do even better than All-American. And I felt like, Peterson's the kind of guy that has a super high ceiling. Obviously, he showed that with beating Ramos. I mean, he's a guy that, in a team seed could make a legit run at Nationals, right? I mean, is that kind of the thought, how you look at him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially like you just said, after taking out the number one guy this weekend, I don't think there's anybody that's just out of Peterson's league, which is an awesome situation to be in going into Nationals. And he makes me look kind of smart when I say all the time, I love Peterson going up a guy after taking a loss against him, going up against him again, because he makes adjustments better than most guys I could see. Proven true with Ramos. It took three times with D'Agostino, but he got there too. So he is a guy that learns from his mistakes, and he's also a very good tournament wrestler, as we saw this weekend. He's savvy. He knows what he needs to do. Next time, maybe just hold on for dear life on a leg in the semifinals against Patrick McKee, you know, and then just take a stall, whatever would have come with it. But still, yeah, he's definitely a guy that can – I mean, it wouldn't be surprising anybody if he's wrestling on Saturday at Nationals, and Saturday means your top six. So I would not be surprised at all – or top eight, sorry.
And, of course, that winning the first Big Ten title for Rutgers at Big Tens since Anthony Ashnall and Nick Soriano in 2019. How impressed were you with his performance, and how well does this now set him up for Nationals moving forward?
Yeah, Dylan Schauber, super gritty all weekend. He had two really close matches, his quarterfinal match against Braxton Brown in Maryland. He was the seventh seed. They had just met a few weeks prior, and Schauber was able to come out, I think, in sudden victory with a late takedown on a 50-50 position to advance. And that was just kind of the stuff he was doing all weekend. In the semifinals, he goes up against Iowa's 14 seed Brody Teske, who wasn't truly a 14 seed. There was some kind of technical submission error. So he was in all reality like a fifth or sixth seed. And, you know, another match that comes down to the end, Schauber and him are another 50-50 position where it looks like Teske really has the advantage. And instead, Schauber comes out on top, moves to the finals where he has Dylan Ragusan, the number one seed. I think he's ranked four in the country from Michigan. He took Schauber out twice this year. He's 2-0 against him. Both were decisions, though. They weren't big margins of victory by any means. And he's kind of has the advantage, it looks like, on Schauber early. I mean, Schauber gets the first takedown, but it's looking like it's going to be a repeat of the first two matches. And towards the end of the second, with Ragusan pushing Schauber up against the edge of the mat, Schauber just turns and flips him to his back with a lat drop, picking up 7 points, 3 for the takedown, 4 for the near fall. And it just kind of blew the match open right there. And it happened right in front of Michigan's bench, too. So you got to see their coaches really staring at the wrestler as he was on his back, which was kind of fun to see. But after that, that kind of caused Ragusan to wrestle a little recklessly because he was trying to come back, you know, from a big deficit. And Schauber was just able to handle everything he was throwing at him. And in the end, he came out with a 23-8 technical fall win in the Big Ten Finals for his first Big Ten title. Like you said, his first one for Rutgers since 2019 with Ashnall and Soriano. So can't be more impressed with Schauber. And with that Big Ten title, Schauber's now earned himself likely a really high seed at Nationals. I have him in the 4-6 range because, unfortunately, there aren't a lot of good wrestlers outside of the Big Ten for once. The IWA has two or three studs. Then you got he's now a 5-time Big 12 champion, Dayton Fix, as of last night, coming out of Oklahoma State, who has been around so long, that's who Soriano beat for his national title. So been around a long time, but Schauber's got a really good shot. I mean, getting a seed in All-American position really puts you in a good spot. He's going to be wrestling guys that are at the quality of their seed, right? Because they seed 1 through 33. So the first round, he's likely going to have a guy in the high 20s. So hopefully he could pick up a couple of wins and really just get his feet underneath him. And then anything can happen at Nationals. So I'm hoping for a big run from Schauber. And I'm really excited to dig into his potential path whenever those seeds come out. So looking forward to that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, he certainly has the opportunity to make a deep run at Nationals, and it was great to see him be able to bring it home at Big Tens. And then now moving on to 141, Mitch Moore, who I was really high on going in. I can't believe it's his fifth NCAA qualification now in his career, and he went 3-3, finished sixth place as the seventh seed, so slightly a better finish than expected, and obviously is. Had some injuries this year. What did you think of his performance, which included a couple of pins?
Yeah, I just have that on here. He had two pins in a combined 63 seconds. That aspect of it was great. He opened the tournament with a quick pin, and then in his first wrestleback match, I believe he also had a quick pin. In between that, there was a couple not so great things, right? He took two falls also. He got pinned by Jesse Mendez in the quarterfinals of Ohio State, and he got pinned in the fifth place match by Nebraska kid.
Brock Hardy.
Hardy, thank you so much. Blanking on Hardy right there. Hardy's a really solid wrestler. He was the four seed, so he was definitely, I mean, Moore was definitely a underdog there. But he looked strong. He was able to get some leg attacks against some guys, which I was really happy to see because we both know he does love that upper body stuff. But seeing him get low, get, change his levels, get on people's legs. And then he's a really good scrambler, too, because I think he is so strong and he comes out of a lot of positions in an advantageous way. So I have him as a 18 to 22 seed, somewhere in that range. I think after today he was ranked like 18th in the country. So right around there. He has potential, right? I mean, as being a pinner, it was huge for Rutgers. So if he could pick up like an early fall, that's huge team points. I think you get 3 points for a pin. If you remember, I believe it was 2 years ago at this point now, Connor O'Neill at 174. He got the 33 seed in the tournament. So the last seed, he was in a pigtail by himself against another against the 32 seed, and he pinned the kid. And it was the most points any Rutgers wrestler scored for the tournament, I think. So anytime you get a win at Nationals, it's important. And being a pinner, Mitch Moore, it'd be great if an opening round match, you could get some bonus points, help the team. But it's all about the individual performance overall. So it'll be interesting to see. I really got to see his seeding and see what his path could be. But he's, I mean, again, I was just really impressed. Another guy who wrestled all of his matches on Sunday. You know, like you said, he was dealing with some injuries this year. But it was obviously important to him to wrestle all of his matches and get out there and represent the team. So sixth place finish, like you said, better than his seeding going in. And we'll see what happens when Nationals rolls around.
Yeah, and obviously he's a ton of experience, so that can only help him, you know, going into his last Nationals.
Yeah, five
and,
times. That's crazy.
Yeah, really, really intrigued by it. Yeah. And then at 149, I just found out on Tuesday that Michael Chetta got an at-large selection at 149, giving Rutgers 8 qualifiers. Obviously had a tough weekend, but what are your overall thoughts of how he did and just in terms of kind of his outlook?
Well, I think I'm going to be like the people who are at the selection committee and just ignore the tournament for him this weekend, because I think that's what they did too. He went 0-3 this past weekend. It wasn't great. I really thought he didn't – I mean, he was one win away from qualifying still with going 0-2 to start. But – I mean, I guess he was impressive enough. You brought up to me this is the Big Ten, maybe the influence of that and the quality of competition that he sees. He did go 4-4 at Big Ten competition, if I'm not mistaken. So he, you know, earned his spot here. I'm sure there's people that'll make cases against him, people that'll make cases for him, but we don't care. He's dancing. He'll be there in 2 weeks. As the Rutgers Twitter account said, pack your bags, Chetta. You're on your way to Kansas City with the rest of the team. And who cares at this point, right? It's house money. Go in there, wrestle your butt off, and maybe something good will happen. I got him late 20s, you know, early 30s, because when you get these at-large bids, unless you're somebody like Carter Starace, who is getting in because he was hurt, you're not going to get a high seat. So he's going to be in the lower part. He'll have to pull some upsets on the consolation bracket, I think, if he wants to make a run. But, hey, I'll say probably 100 times this podcast. Anything can happen in Nationals, so – really happy for Chetta, though. Really proud of how you stepped in for injured Jacob Butler this year and really kind of just hit the ground running, pulled off those two big upsets in the regular season. So happy for Chetta and happy to see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he got a bid to Nationals, so that's a huge accomplishment. And looking at the back four weights, all really good performances. Jackson Turley coming through once again. He was the sixth seed. He has a fourth place finish, 4-2 record, had 2 pins throughout the weekend, and, you know, lost a really close match in that third place match to Rocco Welsh of Ohio State. What were your thoughts on Turley's performance?
I thought Turley looked very strong. I mean, Turley, I got a little tongue in cheek when I was like, just, we don't need Turley to do anything crazy. Turley, please just wrestle to your seed. Because this is the first time where he's kind of been seated in a spot where it's already an automatic qualifier spot, right? He didn't have to go on a deep run. Mm-hmm. I won't tell that to him, though, because he was 3-1 on the backside of the bracket. Like he, and that's really impressive to me again. Like he took a loss, and then he was able to rebound on the backside, pull up 3 strong wins to get himself in that third place match. Look, it's a game Rocco Welsh, who's a young kid from Ohio State, but he's a stud. And he already had taken out Turley once this year. So that's all good. I got Turley somewhere around a 12 to 16 seed at Nationals. I think he's ranked like 11th after today. And yeah, Jackson Turley train, baby. I'm on it. I'm ready to ride. He's hilarious on social media. I think I said that last time. And he just looks like he's having fun. And Jackson Turley having fun, I think, is trouble for all the other wrestlers in the country, because he can do some wild stuff. And he doesn't need to, he just sets it up very well, like his upper body positions. He's just very, very good at understanding his weight distribution where he needs to be. So Charlie's always going to be a fun watch. He exploded onto the scene as a redshirt freshman, right? And got an All-American back in 2021. And now we'll see if he can do it again. He's close. He's right outside that top eight, you know, in terms of seat. Well, I'm guessing. I should say he's right outside there. I don't know yet. But that's where I think he's going to be. And, you know, I'm not going to bid against Jackson Turley at this point. I think he's seasoned enough. He's a veteran. He knows what the deal is. He knows what he has to do. I mentioned I was a little nervous going into the Big Tens that he didn't wrestle in any tournaments this year. That didn't matter. He was ready to go. His weight seems good. He seems strong. And his gas tank is where it needs to be, I think, for this time of year. So I'm high on Turley. I'm high on everybody. I'm high on Turley. And I think he's going to have a really good run at Nationals. And I'm excited to see where he's seated.
Yeah, I think you hit a good point, which I know Goodell talked about a little bit too, is how many wins Rutgers got in the WrestleBacks and was able to, you know, really make up some ground and get some big team points along the way. And Turley certainly is a great example of that. Back-to-back falls, you know, after that tough loss to Patrick Kennedy of Iowa. So he's resilient, and I'm excited to see what he can do moving forward. And then at 184, the eighth seed, Brian Saldano, wrestled better to seed as well, finished sixth place, had a 2-3 record, but, you know, had two of those wins in WrestleBacks as well. You know, overall, how do you think he did?
Yeah, unfortunately, Saldano was up at a bunch of times when other wrestlers were for Rutgers for some reason, so I missed like one or two of his matches, and the one I'm bummed I missed was his WrestleBack match against Lane Malchewski of Michigan State. Now, you remember, these two kind of have a history. They wrestled twice last year, Malchewski taking a major in the first one, and then Saldano pinning him at Nationals. And then this year, it was much-anticipated rematch in the duel. Malchewski majors him. It wasn't really close to, you know, Saldano really putting anything together. And then we get to the Big Ten tournament, and Saldano beats him 11-1. So I don't understand wrestling at all when he's going, but... I mean, he looked good. Saldano looked good. I mean, he had a rough fifth place match, but it was kind of expected. That kid put it on him during the regular season as well. But, you know, he's proven that he's a wrestler that you don't want to see in a tournament. We always talk about the wild moves that he has, but there was a lot of controlled stuff this weekend too that really was worked out well for him. And I actually messed that up. He wrestled Ryder Rogotsky in the fifth place match, and he actually pinned him in the regular season. So I was looking forward to that, but this time Rogotsky got the best of him, and I think he's the superior wrestler and picked up a major decision. So it's the Saldano show. We're all witnesses, right? So hopefully he can string a couple together at Nationals. I got him in that 20 to 25 range. You know, I think he's ranked like 18th or 19th after his weekend. So he's gonna have to probably make a good backside run, but I wouldn't be surprised if he pulls off an upset in the early rounds. I mean, the guy he's very confident, and I don't think he cares who he's wrestling, you know? I don't think he scouts anybody. I think he just goes in and tries to do his thing. Mm-hmm. So that's a good attitude to have going into this tournament, and I'm looking forward to it.
And 197, John Posnanski, 17th, finished 7th, wrestled to seed, 3-2 record. Overall, and won that 7th place match. Overall, what did you see from Paz this weekend?
Yeah, Paz had a solid weekend, right? 7th place finish, wrestled to a seed, looked great in that 7th place match, winning 15-0 over Evan Bates of Northwestern, who actually, I think, took out Saldano a couple times last year. Looked strong in those, right? And then in his quarterfinal match, he was up against Jackson Smith of Maryland, the 2-seed, and he had him. I mean, it was you know, I believe it went to sudden victory, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, lost in sudden victory 1. He was in on a good shot. Brown, you know, shimmied out of it and did a quick duck under re-attack, which is probably the nastiest duck under I saw the whole tournament. Paz, I think, just actually shook his head, like nodded afterwards, like, all right, yeah, you got me with that one. But that's how close he was to making semis, right? So Paz is right there. He couldn't avenge an earlier season loss to Luke Geog of Ohio State. He fell to him again, which put him in the 7th place match. But, I mean, again, I love Paz. I think he's such a solid wrestler, puts himself in such good positions. And I really just want to see him get over the hump. I want to see a deep run from him. I got him sitting around a 15 to 18 seed. Could be a little higher, could be a little lower, but probably somewhere in that range. So right smack in the middle. He's going to have a tough match his first round likely. But then after that, it's up to him. He can hang with anybody, in my opinion, outside of probably Aaron Brooks of Penn State. But with that said, he's got to show it and he's got to prove it. But if there's anybody that can do it, it's my man Paz. So looking forward to that. See if he puts any Instagram videos up this week of him lifting 800 pounds or something to get ready. And we'll see what he can do.
Well, and I think also having a winning record, even though he finished seventh, you know, he still had more positive moments than not. So I think that could help him mentally getting ready for nationals and obviously looking for a big run from him. And then heavyweight, Yaroslav Slavkovsky, the four seed, wrestled to his seed, finished fourth, had a 3-2 record, made it to the semifinals against the number one seed, Greg Kervalet from Penn State. Lost there, but was able to bounce back and get to that third place match, ultimately losing overall. What did you think of Yara?
Yeah, I think Yara looked good early and late. I mean, the announcer, I think it was Jim Givens, must have said it like four times that when they got to the arena Saturday morning, Yara was the first one on the mat out of every wrestler from every team that was there. He was the first one out warming up. And he made a really big point about that because you usually don't see that from heavyweights, right? Because you don't want to – the idea of that warm-up is to kind of like be within an hour of when you're going to go. And he still had probably 3 hours at that point before he was going to wrestle. So Jim Gibbons was nervous about it, which made me a little nervous about it. But Yara looked good. He looked good early. Like you said, made it to the semis, fell to a vastly superior Greg Kervalet, who's just running through most people right now in the specifically in the Big Ten. We'll see how he does at Nationals against some quality guys from the Big 12. But, yeah, I mean, Yara avenged an early season loss, which is big for seeding. He took out number five, Seth Nevels, in the WrestleBacks, did like a bully pause, like pushover. It's a funny video. Nevels, it was worrisome for his knee, but he kind of just fell right backwards. He just went, bleh, and like just laid it on his back with his knees still underneath him. So Yara was able to take that out. And then he fell to a guy he fell to in the regular season from Michigan, Lucas Davison. But he was able to take him down this time, which was big. But then Davison just came right back in and iced it with a takedown of his own. So, I mean, I liked what I saw overall from Yara. It looked like he was, you know, he lost to guys he was supposed to lose to. And in wrestling, that sometimes happens. You can't get an upset every time. He put himself in a good position, you know, wrestling to his seed here, though. I have him at like 10 to 15, somewhere in that range at Nationals, which is, you know, just outside of that All-American area. And he's gritty. He's a veteran. He's been around. He knows what to do. He knows what he needs to do. He changed levels a couple times, and I really like that. Like, got to almost lower leg attacks, which is something I haven't seen from him a lot this year. And I'll have to mix it up because he has his upper body style where he gets overs and unders and kind of throws the guy to the side and tries to get a leg that way. And a lot of guys have scared. I mean, it's late in the season now, right? You're not really getting a lot of surprises from guys you're wrestling. So if coaches are telling him to watch out for that, then he's kind of neutralized. So he's got to find some other stuff, and he did this weekend, which is what I was happy about for sure.
Overall, really strong performance from Rutgers. The sixth place finish, just missing fifth against Ohio State, falling by 1.5 points, but certainly encouraging. And you know, having so many guys have a shot at Nationals now, you know, we'll wait to talk about it once the seedings come out. We'll be back next week to preview Nationals. But any closing thoughts on the Big Ten performance and just looking ahead?
My favorite stat, I almost didn't get it out, of the weekend. So they put this out on Track Wrestling. Of wrestlers, I'm trying to word this correctly, it's a little confusing, but wrestlers who outplace their seeds the most. So you add up that number. So for example, like with, you know, Yara would be zero, Paz would be zero, but then like, you know, somebody like Peterson is four. Rutgers had 10, which was the highest in the Big Ten. So they had the best performance overall of guys, if you take it from an underdog perspective of outperforming their seeds, Rutgers was number one. So you love to see anytime Rutgers is number one on something in the Big Ten that doesn't come down to a negative thing. So really happy about that. And it just sums up what a good weekend it was overall. And it's hard to get too much into Nationals, like you just said, without having the seeds and stuff in front of you. But as you can tell, I'm excited. I look forward to getting into it with you next week. And this is it. We're almost getting to the end of it now. So treasure it while you can. And then I guess we'll have to come on here and talk the Olympic trials in April or something like that.
The important thing is that, you know, after last season, when it was a little bit of a step back, you know, the team dual meets this year. I mean, 4-4, finished seventh in the Big Ten. Then they do even better at Big Ten championships. They out wrestle their own seeds, and now I think they're really poised to hopefully finish even stronger and have a great finish to the season at Nationals. We'll have plenty more once the seeding comes out, and we'll do a preview before next weekend. But thanks so much for listening once again, and thanks, Eric, for being here. Great job as always, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at the Scarlet Faithful podcast.